No special music?
I don't think so.
No?
You have something?
Oh. Yes, but you would not want to hear it this morning. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you for those who decided to venture into the contaminated zone. I am enjoying a cocktail of ibuprofen and DayQuil, so keep your distance if you don't want to mess up your holiday family weekend. But we are here to focus again on the opportunity to focus on the Christmas message. You know, we have little quaint sayings that really go well, and they say a lot in one little phrase. Proverbs are good for that, and one of the modern little proverbs is that folks like to use is Jesus is the reason for the season, and it's true, and it grabs it. One of the things I was thinking about is how I was going to introduce my message this morning is when we look in a democratic society, we look to the majority for direction. And often we think if the majority says it, it must be right. And yet, that is the opposite of what Jesus Christ and the Word of God says. The Word of God says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereby. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few go the way thereof. And we are in a Christmas season where we are becoming more and more and more the minority. Even within the Christian circles of Christendom, it is so contaminated. I don't know what the Catholics are going to do with their Pope coming out and saying that same-sex unions are now can be blessed by the priest. Now, these are dark days, not only in society, but even in so-called Christendom. And I want you to understand that as Christ was brought into the world, the majority rejected him. It was the minority that received him. And I hope that this Christmas you're okay with being in the minority. Because if you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the minority. There are those who will practice traditions of religion. And in North America, those will take on many forms. But as far as true born-again individuals who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's few. That's very few. I hope you are one of them. I hope that this morning was not just out of tradition and obligation to be here. I hope it was because you chose to come and set this time apart where you were going to worship the babe who is also the God-man. And as you did that, I hope that I can help direct your attention to the glories of being in the minority. Matthew 2, 1 through 15 is where we're going to be looking. And as we look at this, let's begin with reading. And then ask yourselves as you're reading, which one am I? There are four characters in this section. All have a reaction to Jesus Christ. How do you react to Jesus Christ in your life? Chapter 2, 1 through 15. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star that they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" Lord, we do ask you to guide and direct in the preaching time, and for those who are struggling with your message in their life and how it would interrupt their life, how they would have to change things, how they'd have to turn away from sin in their lives, how they would have to surrender trust, surrender control, that, Lord, you would show them their need to do so, and that it would be the right thing to do for those who are trusting you, that you would give them just the encouragement to continue being salt and light in this sin-cursed world, and that to be able to rejoice in those things which are of the eternal and not the temporal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So again, I've asked you to identify your reaction to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to have the reaction of Herod the king and the nation of Israel. Herod the king is recognizing that I am the king and I will defend my position at all cost. And his people that the Israelites that are under King Herod both have the same reaction to this message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a born-again believer, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ brings you comfort, brings you joy. But if you're not, it is a disturbing message, because the message is this: if you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are damned to an eternal hell. The message is this: he gets to declare what truth is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He gets to dictate your life, how you should live it, how you shouldn't live it, what is right, what is wrong. And we are independent by nature, selfish by nature. We don't like to be told what to do by anyone. We like to be in control. Well, Herod is the character by which we can even see ourselves. He's a man that was so addicted to his power that he had killed many of his wives, many of his children, just under the rumor that these children were wanting the throne. These are his own children. He was married 11 times. In the historical records, it is said that when he was coming to his death, he knew nobody would mourn him. He knew he was a hated individual. And he was arresting a bunch of the Pharisees and Sadducees with orders that they would be killed on the day of his death so that the Jews would mourn on that day rather than rejoice. So this is a man that was seeing Jesus Christ as an intrusion. But there's interesting things about him. First of all, he did not doubt the accuracy of the prophecy. It's not like he didn't believe this person was real. It's not like he didn't believe that this person had a right to the throne. He didn't obviously believe that he was God, but he recognized the historical accuracy of the prophecy, and he did not respond to this truth in a biblical way. I will defend my kingdom. So he found Jesus as an intruder, a complication that needed to be removed. Question. How do you find statements like, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? How do you deal with Jesus Christ, the virgin birth? He is a virgin birth, meaning supernatural. How do you deal with I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? I had this conversation last week with a gentleman who had been reading some C.S. Lewis and was wrestling with some theological philosophers. And when I brought him to this idea of Christ, and we highlighted the fact that, look, you have to understand that Jesus Christ cannot be just a nice guy. He can't. That is what the Muslims try to say, that he was a prophet, not as good as a prophet as Muhammad, but he was a prophet. But he wasn't God. But what does Jesus Christ say about himself? I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And so when we come to this Jesus in babe in the manger, it is the God-man being born of flesh. And it is supernatural. It is beyond our ability to reason. We have to embrace it by faith, but we embrace a lot of things by faith. We all have faith. The question is the object of faith, right? What is your object of faith? Well, Herod's object of faith was obviously his power. The man will die of some internal disease. As you read Josephus' account of it, he burned from the inside and died from this wretched disease, for whatever it was, from the inside. But when he recognized this king that was coming, he found Jesus Christ as a threat. He was considered not Jewish enough because he was an Edomite. He was a vile man, and he rejected Jesus Christ outright. His reasons were power. I reject Jesus because I would have to surrender to him. I would have to bow to him. This Jesus will bow to me. Atheists are somewhat like that. But here, let's look at the next reaction. The next reaction is all of Jerusalem. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem with him. They knew of the prophecy. They were taught of the prophecy by the religious teachers. And as the religious teachers would teach the law and they would teach the prophecies and they were looking for this Messiah, even those in Jerusalem understood it. But they were troubled. Why were they troubled? This should be a time of rejoicing. By the way, this is 2 years later. So they had time to process this. They had time to warm up to the idea. They had time to accept Jesus Christ for who he declared himself to be. But they continued to be troubled because they knew Herod's reputation. And they would lose their comfort, lose their freedoms, lose the blessings of Herod the Great. And so then I ask you to ask yourself this. Are you one of those who I will not receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I would have to give up my comforts? What are your comforts? I don't know. Maybe you want to live in an adulterous relationship. Maybe you want to enjoy your spirits. You like your alcohol and you're going to keep drinking your alcohol. Maybe you like your foul tongue. And maybe you like the immorality that you enjoy on your TV. What is it? I don't know. But you see, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you understand his commands are, be holy for I am holy. In other words, you live the way he would live because you model yourself after Christ. I've often said that the Christian life is the hardest life to live, but it's the only life worth living. It's hardest life to live because the Bible tells us that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It's not about self-indulgence. It's about following him. And as we do that, we are blessed. We have the joy of our salvation when we do that. But it's a hard, disciplined life to live. And without the power of Christ, we couldn't do it. But we do it as born-again believers. So we see the reaction of them. We see the reaction of the Jews. They were troubled. They were agitated, frightened, because they knew Herod's violence. You know, the fear of man brings a snare. And if you are making decisions in life and what you believe, what you don't believe on the basis of how others will see you or feel towards you or act towards you, that's a terrible way to live your life. Because you are controlled by fear. You're controlled by popular opinion. And if you are one who believes in nothing, then you fall for everything. So you're controlled and manipulated by people. When you become a born-again believer, all of a sudden you're set free because now you are controlled by the instructions of the Word of God, not the opinion of men. You have a truth you can hold to because it's God's truth, not your truth or anybody else's truth. So is Jesus Christ an intruder in your life, or is he the loving, awesome Son of God? Think about this. We have the two negative reactions. Then we come to the next positive reaction. And when they, that is the wise men, had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, who are these guys? It is difficult to tell. There is debate as to who they are. Most likely, they are from the Babylonian area, probably connected and familiar with Daniel's prophecies, is what I would say. The Chaldeans, and they were renowned for their astrology, so they would watch the patterns of the stars, and they would study them, and they would write down their observations, and they could predict future weather, they could predict future events on the basis of the stars. Now, they see this star, and they recognize this is an anomaly. This is different than all other stars. This is not acting the way it's supposed to act. And they recognize immediately something very, very special is going on here. And as they recognize it's something very, very special, they begin to follow, which began a 2-year journey. Because remember, Jesus Christ now is not a babe in the manger. He's a young boy, about 2 years old. That's why King Herod is saying, how long, when did the star come? What's going on here? And he was able to ascertain from the wise men that this was a 2-year span. That's why he's going to go and kill all of the 2-year-old boys in this area when he finds he's been tricked by the wise men. Now, before you think of the travesty, I mean, one boy would be too much. But in a village of this area, whatnot, you're dealing with maybe 10, at the most 100, but maybe 10 boys. And to every mother, that's their boy. Still a travesty. What a vile man. As he reacts to the announcement of the king, these wise men, and how many were there? We don't know. There are 3 gifts that are given, which is wonderful. The 3 gifts that are given are actually what finance Joseph's trip to move down to Egypt to escape the attack on his son. So we see that they received it with great joy. They were willing to sacrifice time and effort to find the truth in the king. Are you willing, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, are you willing to study it out? Are you willing to invest? Are you willing to let the Word of God speak to you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can tell you truth, but truth is not going to change you until you saturate yourself in the truth, until you read the Word for yourself, until you get in there and ask this question, God, please show yourself to me. If you're real, show yourself to me. God will do that. And these wise men invested time. It took them almost 2 years to find Mary. It took a long journey from the Far East. It took faith to come so far with only the sign of this star. I will argue this, that when they come to the place of Jesus, they become what you and I would understand as born-again believers. They become Christian. But their journey is, I need to investigate this supernatural interference to astrology. What's going on here? This is defying all science, all laws. Well, guess what? Salvation is by faith and by faith alone. And I can reason you, I can challenge you, I can give you reasons why you should believe the Bible, I can give you reasons why Jesus Christ was a historical figure and that he is who he says he is. I can give you all the empirical evidence, and it's still going to have to be a step of faith in the end. It'll be reasonable faith, but it'll have to be, you just need to trust it because God said it. And they did. They traveled from the east. As they travel from the east, they get confronted with the Sanhedrin, with the king. They're confirmed in their pursuit that this is a prophetic fulfillment within the scriptures. And they are responding with tenderness, and the Sanhedrin and the king are responding how? The religious community rejects, the king rejects, Jerusalem rejects, and these wise men from afar who are not raised in the church, not raised knowing about Yahweh, respond with awe and wonder. And as they come, they fell down and worshiped him. Conversion. The unchurched. What are you? I don't know. Are you a follower? Do you rejoice with exceeding great joy at this time of season when you can celebrate the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is Christ? Because he is Lord? Does it bring you comfort? They received him as king even though he was not adorned as one. They came to a house and found a young mom and child. There was no kingdom. There was nothing there to indicate this was the God-man. Nothing. They had to accept it by faith. And they did. Well, yeah, but they had a star. Well, we have a whole lot of things going on in life we can't really explain, don't we? Sure we do. Now, the star was quite interesting. Obviously, this home and beacon star came down so close to the place where they live that these wise men could actually go to the house. So it couldn't have been just like hovering in the sky, right? Hundreds of feet in the air. It had to come down it like a locator beacon to the point that this house. Well, if I had that, I'd believe in Jesus too. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because you have the very word of God. Why won't you? Maybe it's because of the king. Maybe you find Jesus Christ as a threat. Or maybe it's because of the Jews who found that Jesus Christ would take away their comfort and their freedoms. Whatever reason it be, it's not a reasonable reason because in the end you will be damned to an eternal hell. So they received him as king. They immediately bow down and worship him. They give him frankincense, myrrh. And as he gives them, as they give the gifts, they recognize him as king. And in closing, we see Joseph being warned of God in a dream that he should not return. That is the wise men being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to the Herod. They departed their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child, his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." 2 points I want to highlight here. First of all, Joseph's reaction to the spoken word of God. Submit, immediate obedience. Submission, immediate obedience. He follows instruction. He's 2 years. He's established himself. He has his job. He's providing for his family. And God says, "Now, in the night, go. Or your son is going to be killed. Go, because Herod is going to..." I don't know about you, but most people would want, give me the 5 reasons and the 5 evidences of why I need to uproot in the middle of the night and go. And Joseph says, "No, God said it. That settles it. I'm going." Now notice God's care. He already sends the money which he was going to need through the 3 gifts so that he could move pay for the moving expense and the setup cost of living in Egypt. There it is. It's provided. And Joseph receives the instruction and follows it, which is the model for you and I this year as we come to a new year coming. How do you respond to the Lordship of Christ if you are a born-again believer? Is He the Lord? And then take faith, take comfort in the fact that you know this because the Word says it. Repeatedly here, verse 5, verse 15, verse 17, and verse 23 says, this was done so that the Scriptures could be fulfilled. Meaning, the integrity of the Word of God, the integrity of the character of God Himself depended on these things happening because they were prophesied in the Old Testament and they were fulfilled here to the exact account. So that if you are a doubter, you can believe. The Word of God is true. And we should trust it. Well, but the majority of the world mocks it. Yes. But the majority often, and most often, is wrong. What's an Old Testament example we have that? The ultimate Old Testament example we have of the majority being wrong. Go ahead. Noah. Right? Noah and his family. And the entire world of, at that time, rejecting what Noah believed. We are a minority. You should be okay with that. Because that is consistent with all of biblical history. But we're right. We have the truth. And we should share that truth with all we can. I've given out many tracts. I've given the gospel to several people this last couple of weeks. Have you? This is a time you should be able to share it more than any other time. That's what Christ wants you to do. Take this time and opportunity to point people to it. Because salvation, there's salvation in none other but through the man, Christ Jesus. He declared himself to be the resurrection and the life. He declares himself to be the bread of life. And if you'll eat of him, you'll hunger no longer. I surrendered my life and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as a teenage man, 17 years of age. I don't regret it. It changed my life, continues to change my life. It's my anchor. It's what I turn back to all the time to get my head on straight because this world is a messed up place. And it's just getting worse. And so I would invite you, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, if you've never trusted Him, you need to do it because it's the only thing that's worth investing in. Everything else is going to burn. It's all going to burn. It's only one eternal thing that's going to last, your soul. And your soul is either going to be eternally in hell, or it's going to be forever in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just close with this. And you think, wow, this is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is. But it's also a time of the condemnation of a world. Herod was condemned by his rejection. The Jews were condemned by their rejection. You realize what's going on right now is prophesied in Scripture. This will happen until they turn back to Christ. The nations will turn on them and seek to annihilate them. That was prophesied within the Scriptures. And also prophesied within the Scriptures is this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why Christ came. So you would not have to be cast into the lake of fire. For us who have that, this does not threaten us. But if you don't have it, it condemns you. Your name has to be found written in the book of life. So, turn your Bibles over to John. And John chapter 3 is a powerful, powerful salvation chapter. But I want to deal with this idea of getting out of hell. The word condemned is the idea of condemned to hell. And there's only one way to escape that. We all have memorized John 3:16, but we often forget the context of what it is in. So I want us to read the context of what it is in. In John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Him being the Son of Man, him being Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? In hell. But have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How do you enter into, get your name written into the book of life? You put faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It doesn't say, if you'll go to this church, or if you read your Bible, or if you, all these things will come. You'll want to go to church. You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to live for the Lord. When you trust in the babe, the God-man, Jesus Christ, for all he declares himself to be, when you will trust him, you will not be condemned. That's what it says. If you haven't trusted him for your eternal soul, to take your eternal soul to heaven, and you're trusting in your good works, you're trusting in your intellect, you're trusting whatever, the Bible says, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's all God talking to your soul, saying, please, don't be like Herod, don't be like the Jews. Be like the wise men, be like Joseph. Accept Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Well, how do you take care of that? The Bible simply says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Well, obviously that call is, I'm trusting he will do what he said he will do. I'm trusting he is who he says he is. So this Christmas, time to celebrate for us. For us who know him, it's a great time. And it should be. But the majority of this world doesn't know him. And the majority of this world is scared half to death. This is a terrible time. Drugs abuse goes way up. Alcohol abuse goes way up. Deaths go way up by suicide. The world's hurting right now because they don't have what you and I have. So if you feel like, see a stranger in the street this week, if you have family members who are just estranged, check in on them. I had a member of Northwest Bay Rez call me up. Please pray for this guy. And this week, I'm very concerned of this week for for our residents, this is a very tough week. And if you deal with addictions at all, you know this is one of those weeks. Because they don't have the hope of the Savior. We do. Let's celebrate it. Amen? If you're a born-again believer. If you don't, please accept it. Take care of it today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you opportunity. You recognize you're like the king, Herod, or the Jews who rejected Messiah. You just don't have time for him. He's just an inconvenience. He's an intrusion in your life. You realize that. You're convicted. The Holy Spirit, God, has been speaking to you quietly in your soul and saying, you need this. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. If that's you, and you're going to do that, you're going to pray and ask him, you're going to take care of it this Christmas. What a beautiful time to take care of it. Would you just indicate by raising your hand, saying, I'm praying that right now. I'm praying and asking Christ to be my Savior so I'm not condemned to hell. Anybody? Anybody ready for that? Okay. How about you're here today and you are the inconvenience. I'm a born-again believer, but I'm inconvenienced by Christ getting in my way because I lose some of my comfort. And I know it is a dishonorable way to which to worship my Lord. And today I am repenting of that, surrendering my life back to Him and worshiping Him the way He deserves to be worshiped. I'm surrendering my life back to obedience to Christ. Anybody here with that decision this Christmas? I know I have dethroned Him. I've been living for myself. And I need to worship Him as He deserves to be worshiped. Anybody? Okay. Amen. I see that hand. I need to worship Him the way He needs to be worshiped. I want to worship Him. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for the glory of your word. It's just quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for your son, sending your son. Our hearts are burdened and are heavy for those who do not know you. May we this Christmas enjoy our family, enjoy the freedoms within our country that we have, but may we not lose sight of to why Jesus came. And that is to save the world from their sins. So help us to have a burden for those who do not know you. Help us to be reaching out. And help us to be okay with being the minority. Help us not to be ashamed of that. Help us to know the truth and to stand in it. And as we go our separate ways, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in all we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.